Great to have you with us on the show today, and this half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Whether you're a business or athletes, these guys will get you rolling. Go to NILGameChangers.org. New book about the Pittsburgh Steelers, looking at the 2008 season in a team that gave up 223 points, led by coordinator Dick LeBeau. George Von Benko penned the book. George, welcome to the show.
Steve, great to be on with you. We're very excited about the book. It was released on July the 9th, and it is doing so well that Triumph Books has already committed to a second printing of the book.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. That's really great news. So let's start with this. Why did you pick this topic of Dick LeBeau and the 2008 Steelers defense?
Actually, he picked us.
Okay.
Dick had had this on his mind for some time because he always believed that that 2008 Steeler defense never got its just due. He felt it was one of the great defenses in NFL history, and certainly the numbers backed that up. So he had had this on his mind for some time. He had accumulated a lot of information, all of the game films from all of those games, the 19 games from that season, all of the stats. And he started to look at writing the book, and he selected Scott Brown, who was a former beat writer covering the Steelers back then, and of course me, to co-author the book with him. He wanted it to be completely about the 2008 defense. We had to convince him a little bit that, yes, the bulk of the book will be about that season and that defense, but we can't overlook 59 years in the National Football League as a player and a coach. Steve, that will never, ever happen again. So we had to put some things about Dick LeBeau and his career in the book. He didn't want to do it, but finally acquiesced to our demands. And so there's some stuff on LeBeau and his career with the Lions and his time when he played for the Buckeyes at Ohio State. Some great sidebars on that. And, of course, the book about the 2008 Steelers, the 19 chapters are the 19 games of that season going into the final game, which was the Super Bowl.
What did you learn about Dick LeBeau, the man, that you did not know before?
Well, he is just unbelievable in this respect. I've been around football a very, very long time. My first year covering the Steelers was actually Chuck Knoll's first year, 1969. And in that period of being around, particularly pro football and college football an awful lot, I have never, ever met a coach as revered by his players as LeBeau was. It just came through, and I just couldn't believe the way they felt about him as a coach and as a person. Right on the cover of the book, there's a quote from James Farrier, who was his middle linebacker, and the quote was, "Unlike any coach I've ever met." And that struck me. But then when you dig deeper into LeBeau, people forget, Steve, what a great player he was in his own right.
That's right.
62 career interceptions, which is seventh or eighth still on the all-time interception list. And he was just a great, great player in his own right. And a lot of people don't know that. And then the stories that came out of Ohio State, the time he was at Ohio State was a great period, Steve. They won the national championship in 57, and there were great football players there. But he was in school with Jerry Lucas, John Havlicek, Larry Ziegfried, Frank Howard, the baseball player, was a center on that team. Bobby Knight was on that team, and he became great friends. And then two other classmates of his that people didn't realize were Jack Nicklaus and Tom Weisskopf.
Yeah, no, I was over at we had the golf outing this year at Ohio State. I saw all that. He's like, okay, here's Nicklaus's scorecard. Right under glass from the Masters in '86 in the final round. Like, okay, very nice.
One of the funny stories of the sidebar is I interviewed Knight quite some time ago before he passed away, and Dick remained in contact with him till the end, even though he had deteriorated and had dementia. He called Bobby quite a bit, talked to him, but he told me the story about Knight, and it sort of tracks. Knight was always bugging LeBeau. He said, take me over. I want to visit with Coach Hayes. He always was bugging him to take him over to visit with Coach Hayes. And if you think about the two personalities, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, to a point. Sometimes you can butt heads with people if you have too similar personality. But sure, I mean, you also want to learn from people who are leaders. That's why you'll find coaches today, they'll read leadership books. And it's not just leadership books when it comes to other coaches. For example, Joe would read Churchill. He read Harry Truman. People like that. I mean, those are some of the books he would read, Leaders Under Crisis, and how they handled it. So, yeah, I can completely understand that. James Harrison had a phenomenal year. As an undrafted player, he rises to the top of the defensive ladder. What, for Dick LeBeau, James Harrison to him meant what?
It meant fighting for a player that he believed in, because he was cut several times. And before he had that run, when he really turned into the defensive player he turned to, he was very close to being cut by the Steelers again. And LeBeau fought for him. And that's what, and to this day, Harrison still talks about that, that LeBeau believed in him, and he became the player he became. The interesting part of the book, too, when you look at all the players that contributed to the book, James Harrison and Troy Polamalu thought enough of it to write the foreword for the book.
Right. Which then brings us to Polamalu. Every defensive coordinator loves to have a chess piece that the opposition needs to find on every snap. To Dick LeBeau, what did Troy Polamalu mean to him?
He used him like a Swiss Army knife. He could do so many things. And you must remember, Troy was drafted the year before LeBeau came back to be the defensive coordinator. And many people in Pittsburgh viewed him as a bust. He had a very subpar rookie year, didn't get an awful lot of playing time. And Polamalu says to this day that it is no surprise to him that his career took off after Dick LeBeau became the defensive coordinator. And the thing that Polamalu impressed upon me is how much he put on his shoulders. Every player on that defense had to learn their role. Troy had to know what everybody else's role was. He said, not only did I have to know what I was supposed to do, I had to know what everybody else was supposed to do on that defense. And that's why Coach LeBeau spent so much time with me, and I was in the film room with him, and that gave him the leeway to do what he did, because a lot of times Troy would freelance and LeBeau gave him that opportunity. Of course, it really helped, and it comes through in the book, that he had Ryan Clark back there to cover up if there were any mistakes made when he did gamble and see something and go to try and make a play. Ryan Clark was always in the right position, and LeBeau always told me, he says, it was so funny, I never saw them speak to each other on the field. They would just give each other a look. And a nod or just a look at each other, and they'd know what they were going to do. It was almost it was telepathy between the two of them.
Well, if you ever talk with the legendary Harry Sinden, who was the coach of the Bruins, on Bobby Orr's famous goal where Noah Picard trips him and he flies through the air after scoring in overtime to win the Stanley Cup, Harry Sinden will tell you when Orr went to the net, the first thing he as a coach looked at was not Derek Sanderson passing it. He wanted to see if Eddie Westfall went back to the point to cover up for Orr not being there. Right? So that's how you see coaches think that way. Ryan Clark was back there to cover up for Troy Polamalu.
And more often than not, which drove the other teams crazy, Paul Amalu would guess right.
Yeah, well, no.
He would see something,
he would guess right,
and he would blow up the play or do something spectacular. He was just a great player. But that defense was filled with great players. And it all started up front. If you hear Dick talk, the defense would not have been able to do what they did had it not been for a great nose guard by the name of Casey Hampton, who just dumbed things up in the middle of the other team's offense. It took sometimes two or three players to block Hampton.
Well, I mean, that goes back to the Patriots, Vince Wilfer. It's the same thing, right? You know, most great defenses are built up the middle, right? Was that always Dick LeBeau's philosophy of building up the middle, because it starts with Hampton, then it goes to Ferrier, then it goes back to the secondary?
Yes, and of course, we can't overlook James Ferrier, who Dick felt never got the credit he deserved. He was like another coach on the field. Ferrier was just a great, great leader for that defense, and did so many things. And then they had the two great outside linebackers in Harrison, and then Lamar Woodley, who had come in and was actually in his rookie year of that year and did so much. But there were just so many great pieces to that defense, and Dick moved them around like chess pieces, but it was a pretty special bond between he and Paul Amalu. Paul Amalu, as Dick said, he used him like a Swiss Army knife.
What did Paul Amalu, you know, obviously Dick LeBeau meant a lot to his career, but as a man, what did Dick LeBeau mean to Troy Paul Amalu?
Well, you'll hear that from so many of the players. He taught them so much. And to a man, everybody I talked to from the defense, praised what he did as a coach and how they were put in a position to succeed by LeBeau. But they talked about the fact that it was more than just them as players. He cared about them as people and about their families. And, he was a father figure to many of the guys on that defense, and it continues to this day. We kicked off the book at the Western Pennsylvania Sports Museum, the Hines History Center. We had a Q&A session down there on a Sunday, July the 14th, with Coach LeBeau, Scott Brown, and I. And then we had four players who came to participate in the Q&A session with the fans: Casey Hampton, Brett Kiesel, Ike Taylor, and Chris Hoke. And it was just a marvelous get-together with the fans. Over 400 people showed up. But one of the things that happened late in the talk we had with the fans is a lady got up and said, "I've heard so much about you reciting The Night Before Christmas to your players around Christmas time." And she said, "Would you give us a snippet of that?" And Casey looks at me and says, "He's just going to do a little bit, right?" Dick got up and did the whole thing verbatim and brought the house down.
The Super Bowl win over Arizona ended up being a wild affair where the Steelers had zero control over Larry Fitzgerald. Sorry, just a fact. But James Harrison had the 99-yard interception return, which took about 4.5 minutes to return. What does Dick recollect about that play at the end of the first half?
Harrison saw something. He was not supposed to be in that position, but he saw something, and he moved over to that position. Warner didn't see him, threw it right to him. But the interesting thing about the return was LeBeau had been on the defense that week in practice about if there is a turnover, you have to turn immediately. And he stressed it time and time again, from a defensive player to an offensive player, and lay a hat on somebody and start blocking. And that was stressed in practice during the week. The players remembered it. In fact, they got to the point where everything that was a turnover in practice, they were running back all the way and never stopping. And that led to the return. Everybody got a hat on somebody except DeShay Townsend, who was on the other side of the defense and then finally caught up to the play. But one of the funny things is Ike Taylor was yelling for James to give him the ball. Mm-hmm. And James didn't give it. And Dick wanted him to get down. I was yelling at, you know, we had the lead. We still had a three-point lead. That was right at the end. Yeah. I didn't want anything to happen and lose the ball again. I was telling James to get down. And instead, he was running down the field. And finally, I'm to the point where, go, go, go. And, you know, it turned out to be one of the greatest plays in NFL history. But it was Harrison who actually was not in the position he was supposed to be in. He saw something and moved into that position.
Yeah, it's one of the slowest plays in NFL history, but, yeah, it's a great play. So, like, come on, let's go here.
Well, he was completely out of gas when he got to the end zone.
Well, no, he got to the 30-yard line, his own 30-yard line. I went and got a sandwich, came back. When they got back, he was at the other 30. All right, so it just took a long time.
The other thing is, Dick, after they gave up the pass to Fitzgerald, which was a breakdown in the secondary, and Fitzgerald scored that touchdown, and the Cardinals had the lead, the defense had been so great all year, and Dick was fretting on the sidelines that we had played so well all year, and we're going to have a breakdown like that, and it's going to cost us the Super Bowl. And the byplay on the sidelines was, the defense had really carried them all year, and Roethlisberger looked over and said, "Don't worry, I got this."
Yeah, because when they won, Super Bowl 40, Roethlisberger was a caretaker in a lot of ways,
and then made that throw to Santonio Holmes to win the game, and then that's where the title comes from. Paraphrasing, Mike Tomlin looked at LeBeau and the defense and said, "You guys have been great all year. Now is the time to rise up and stop Warner and Fitzgerald and them. You have a chance to be legendary." That's where the title came from.
Right. Well, I mean, look, Roethlisberger had been a caretaker, really, in Super Bowl 40. But in 43, I mean, he is, I mean, the defense played well, but Roethlisberger's the difference maker in the game because he made big plays when they needed it. What did the defensive guys think of the offense for the Steelers and of Roethlisberger?
Well, at the beginning of the year, the offense was very much a work in progress. And Dick had told the defense that you've got to hold the fort until the offense catches up. And that's what they did, and they put up great in all the categories. Dick had a list of like 11 categories that he wanted them to rise to the occasion. These categories, they were better in each one of those categories except one, and they were very close to the number that he had. And the fact that in 9 defensive categories, they led the league, they were second in one. But he felt the defense was going to have to carry the load early until the offense caught up, and eventually they got better and better as the year went on. And by the time they reached the Super Bowl, they were hitting on all cylinders at that point. But there was never any finger pointing. That never happened with Dick and his defense. There, that you played as one, and he made that clear to everybody. We play as a team.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, Roethlisberger and Santonio Holmes were there to prove that point. Where can people get this book? Where are the outlets, and how can they order it?
You can order the book online at Amazon.com. It is in Barnes & Noble's bookstores all around the country and many different outlets. It's being sold on the Steelers website where they sell their merchandise. It's being sold at the Pro Football Hall of Fame website where they sell their merchandise. So there are plenty of outlets to pick up the book. As I said, it's doing very, very well, and I'm just so pleased with the way it turned out. You know, one of the things that helps make books, too, is to have some good photographs in the book, and the Lions and the Steelers both gave us carte blanche for photos in the book, and there are some tremendous photos in the book.
George, congratulations on this. It's a tremendous project, and it sounds like a fascinating read that should be on a lot of tables. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, Steve. I really appreciate it.
George Von Benko wrote the book, and, of course, Dick LeBeau, Pittsburgh Steelers 2008 defense. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Go to NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.